How many times have people bowed their head and cried and bawled and wound up in trouble and wound up in the hospital and sometimes even in hell, and they thought, if I'd only listened to what that preacher tried to tell me, I would not be in this shape. Now let me tell you something, brother. God's man may not always tell you what you want to hear. But if you'll notice, and I challenge anybody here on this, and I'm gonna read some more scripture in a minute. I challenge you here tonight. You tell me when a preacher ever told you something that really was God's man, and tell me when he's wrong. Really, I'm serious. I tried to think this season. I know every Tom, Dick, and Harriet claim to be a preacher ain't a preacher. And I know everything a preacher says ain't right. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm looking back over the years, and I've noticed that every time a man of God really warns somebody about something, 99 times out of 100, they're right. That don't mean they're infallible. That don't mean they're supernatural. That does mean when God calls a man to preach, you better listen to what that man said. I don't have any doubt in my mind to what God Almighty won't lay something on the heart of these preachers that's coming here this week. For me, I'm wanting some answers. I want some direction. I'm saying, God, speak to me. I believe he's going to. He said, well, ain't no preacher going to run my life. I bet you these people didn't say that. See, think about it at the beginning of this journey. Here's a man, experienced captain on a ship. There's no telling how many years he'd been running a ship. There's no telling how experienced that crew was. And here's an old converted Jew popped up there and said, we better not go, we're going to have bad luck. Get out of here, preacher. Stay in your field. That's none of your business. We're the masters around. Stick to the pulpit. Don't stick your nose in our business. We know how to operate a ship. We can read the signs. Brother, a few days later, that thing was going like this and that. Oh, no, we're going to die. Oh, no. Paul said, you should have listened to me. Hey, brother, a preacher don't know much about a lot of things, but if God gives him something to say, you better listen to what the man says. He said, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. Well, when to listen to the preacher. Now, I want to say this more this evening by way of introduction. I'll not be long. I just want to say this. Just as you heed the words of a doctor, if you're sick, if you got much sense and you ain't got a lot enough faith to be healed or whatever, you'll go to the doctor. And when that doctor comes down here, he says, you have strep throat, or you have appendicitis, or you have kidney troubles, or you have an ulcer, or you have something wrong with you. However, I will prescribe such and such a medicine. If you will go to the drugstore, get this prescription fulfilled, and you will get this thing and take it as I prescribe it to you, then you stand a real good chance of getting better. Almost guarantee you to get well. You know why you go to a doctor? You want him to tell you what you need. You want him, who in the world would want a doctor? They'd say, well, you're all right. Ain't nothing wrong with you. You're liable to die in a day or two. You go to a doctor. If you got any sense, you're not going to pay a doctor to tell you that you're all right when you're not all right. You want to be told the truth. Get the medicine. Take it. Get it over with so you can enjoy life once again. Boy, if you got good sense, you'll take heed to the words of a doctor when it comes to medicine. I don't know nothing about medicine. I wouldn't know one drug from another. I don't know what to prescribe for this and that. I know when you get a headache, you take a goody powder. I know when you got your stomachs are hurting, you take Pepto-Bismol. And I know when you got you're burning in there, you take Alka-Seltzer. But beyond that, brother, I don't know about Darvon and codeine and all these other drugs and what they're supposed to do and what's for this and that. And if I get sick, I'm going to that doctor. He's been trained. He's an expert in that thing. And I'm going to say, Doc, I trust you. Tell me what it is. That don't mean he's God. That don't mean he's perfect. But that means he's trained. trained in his field. He knows what he's doing. He is a doctor. Man, got to be pretty smart to be called a doctor. And brother, he can tell me what I need. If I'm having trouble with the law, I go to a lawyer. And I say, hey, if you're buying property, I don't know how to draw up a deed. I don't know how to get that thing recorded. And that lawyer can fix up that deed and is perfectly legal. He can tell you how to take it to the courthouse and have it recorded. He can fix legal documents or agreements between. If I need something like that done, I go to the lawyer. If I want to know what my rights are about certain things or what the law, I go to that lawyer. He's been trained. That's what his job is. He's an expert in that field. If I want to know where my property line is, I don't go up there and say, well, 1, 2, 3, I got an acre of land. It ought to come about right here. Starts that stump right over there and goes that pine tree over there. And all. If I really want to know where my land is, who do I go to? Surveyor. And I say, come down here and survey out my property. And that surveyor will come down that boy and he'll look in one of them little old things and he'll look here and look there and he'll measure here and find the iron stake and go here and there. And buddy, he'll mark it out to where there's no doubt about where my property line is, and nobody can, I can build a fence on that and nobody can trespass if that's what I want to do. But that surveyor is trained to do that. That is his job, ladies and gentlemen. That's what he does for a living. That's what he's an expert in. It doesn't mean he knows everything. That's just his job. He'll put a little paint on the tree or a fence post or some spray paint or cut a notch in it. There's the property line. If I have problems with the wiring in my house and the lights won't come on, you know who I call? I call an electrician. I say, get over here. I've got an electrical problem. He'll go in there. Lord, mercy, I'd get electrocuted if I tried to fix it, wouldn't you? Go in there and start pulling out wires and this. Well, I don't know nothing about that kind of stuff. He can tell you exactly what wire goes where, watts, amps, all that stuff, and tell how many, you know, amps supposed to be in one of them little fuses, where your fuse box is and how it runs in and cut the power off on, all that kind of stuff. If I got a problem with my water, I need a plumber. And if you got a leak underneath the house or somewhere and your well's messed up, you need a plumber to help you fix it. He's trained in that field. And I'm saying, just as we go to experts in all of these areas, if you got a problem with sin or you got a problem with eternity or you got problems with your soul's condition before God, you'll want a man of God to go to and say, preacher, tell me where I stand. He's trained in that. That's his job. He's an expert in his field. He knows what he's talking about if he's a God-called preacher. Now listen, in case you get the wrong idea, a preacher is not perfect. You didn't know that, did you? Nor is he always right. I hate to bust your bubble, but he's not always right. Nor is a preacher a prophet. He has no supernatural ability to predict the future. I'll tell you one thing, and I believe this to my soul. I believe God lays things on his man's heart. I believe that. I believe that God Almighty knows the need of the hour, and if that man will pray and get in tune with God, God will put it on his heart. Some things he needs to say and some things you need to hear, and he won't even know you need it. But it'll just happen. I'll never forget one time I went up to North Cove to Faith Baptist Church years ago. I can tell you when it was. We was remodeling the old building up there. 1979, the fall. I believe Ralph Green was preaching. They was having a revival meeting and preacher couldn't come. Anyway, I think Ralph was preaching their revival. The pastor of the church preaching the revival. They do that sometimes. And I just felt compelled to go up there. And I left the men up there working. Some of you men probably don't remember that. They were putting up two-by-fours around the wall, studding the walls out up there to put that paneling on the walls in the old building. And I said, I'm going up to meeting up at Faith tonight. I went up there and sat down, and Ralph Green got up. He I barely knew Ralph then, you know, just a little pretty good, you know. And he preached a message on a certain subject of trouble. And he said, there may be trouble coming to somebody here. I did not know.
had no idea that it was me.
In the very few days, that thing that he preached about hit my life. And I thought God was telling me. God was preparing me. God was warning me. Brother Ralph didn't know. I didn't even know. I was already having problems. I didn't even know it. And I remember the witness of God in my heart said, yeah, I told you through my man the other night. I warned you. Listen, folks. Listen to me tonight. Listen to me tonight. Don't ever, ever, ever just get commonplace and sitting there letting the preaching go in one ear and out the other. Preaching is supernatural. The man's nothing. I'm nothing. No other preacher's nothing. But God Almighty speaks to His preacher.
Don't you ever forget that. Don't you ever forget that. There's no doubt in my mind God will put a message on a preacher's heart and it'll be for somebody in here. Boy, I thought about that and I went back. And I've had this happen in my own life many, many, many times. I've had people say, how did you know? I said, know what? Well, about the problem I'm having. I said, I don't know about the problem you're having. They said, you described it to the T.
And there's been many times when I had a sermon on my heart that I thought, I ought to preach this, Lord. And for the strangest reason, God just changed my mind and deal with me and go another direction. I said, all right, Lord, if that's what you want. I'll never forget, I was preaching over at First Free Will Baptist Church.
And I kind of preached for them for about a month before we ever started our church. And they was without a pastor. And I just kind of filled in and preached for them. And one Sunday, I'd stayed up late and studied one Saturday night. And the Lord was dealing my heart about preaching on heaven. And I didn't even have a message on heaven. I didn't have anything to say about heaven. But all the way up the road that morning, God said, preach on heaven. And I said, but Lord, if you want to do something, you want to do your best. If you're going to teach a class and you've got notes on a certain subject and you've got things to say, you'd feel a lot more secure doing that than just stabbing out in the blue with nothing to say. I said, God, I'll make a fool out of myself if I get up there and say, talk 5 minutes, and then I run out of something to say. God, I ain't got no sermon on heaven. And the Lord, right down there at that red light at Greasy Corner, I can tell you where I was at. I fought that thing all the way up the road. And when I got that red light at Greasy Corner, I said, okay, God, if I make a fool out of myself, I just make a fool out of heaven it is. If that's what you want, heaven it'll be. I turned in there and pulled in the parking lot. And I got up that morning and started. And I hadn't been talking 1 minute till I knew I was on track. I mean, the glory of God flooded my soul. I could feel God so strong in there. You could cut the air with a knife, brother. And if I'm not mistaken, I may be wrong. I believe that's the morning Brother Tony Stiles got right. I don't even know if you remember that, Tony. But I believe that's the morning that he come to the altar and got right with the Lord. Lord, in mercy, what a service. It got so real in there. It got so thick. And God had sent us the best treasure in the country because I obeyed him that morning. Ain't that something? I believe that, bro. I believe I can look back to many people in here and remember little things that was said, little things that was done. Hey, boy, I'll tell you, when God puts something on a preacher's heart, you better listen. It's not to be taken lightly. I'll tell you one thing. If God's man told me to go one way, and one of my school teachers that was a heathen told me to go another way, I'd take God's man's advice.
Amen. Brother, I'm here to tell you, you better listen
to the preacher. All right, let's go back here in Acts chapter 27. Let me show you something.
See, before they ever left on this journey, look what Paul said. Acts chapter 27, verse 10.
Acts 27, 10. And said unto them,
sir, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the landing and ship, but also of our lives. Now, buddy, the old preacher, hold your finger there now. I'm not through. The old preacher jumped up there. And he says, you boys better not go on this trip. He said, God, I've been back there in the prayer room praying. Down there on the lower deck. And he said, God showed me, fellas, if we go on this trip, we're going to get in trouble. And they said, yeah, you're just saying that because you're a prisoner and you're afraid we'll get out here. Yeah, I know you preachers. You're trying to get money, or you're after something, or you're scared of this, or you don't like this. And boy, look here what the next verse says. Verse number 11. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Now, brother, he got in trouble there. He got in trouble there because he believed that heathen more than he believed God's man, because he considered the heathen to be an expert and God's man to be an amateur. If God's man is an amateur in a subject, if God gives him the words, you'd be better off to listen to God's man. That's why a lot of people say, well, I don't want to go listen to them young preachers preach. They don't. Listen, buddy, if a guy just surrendered to preach last week, if God Almighty's been talking to his heart, you better sit there and listen. I don't care if he's 9 years old or 90 years old. If God's been talking to that man's heart, he's been in his prayer room. I know for a fact, when you get on your knees and pray and seek God, he talks to you. He puts things on your heart. And God don't never make a mistake. He knows where every one of you is at tonight. Son, this word of God will find you. I was preaching one time. I preached on a bunch of stuff. They didn't have nobody hardly come to the altar. There's an old timer. I can't remember where it was or who it was. He came up and shook my hand. He said, keep a shooting, son. They're all in that same hole. I said, amen. That was encouraging because I didn't see much results, you know. It's just like your rabbit hunting, you know. How many ever went out rabbit hunting? Anybody in here? Boy, I remember that. We used to drive. Daddy run rabbit when I was little. Daddy's dogs run rabbits. And they'd say rabbits, and he'd say, all right, son, we're going to go down here and try to jump this rabbit. And what you do when you jump a rabbit is you take a stick and you go down there and you hit brush piles and you hit them because they hide in there. And you hit them there, and there goes one, sure enough. And the dog goes after it, you shoot it or something. But I tell you, that's the way preaching is. I don't know where they're all at, but when they find that brush, you just keep gouging in there and gouging in there, and God will give us the words to say, and the Lord will get the job done. They'd have been a lot better off had they listened to the Apostle Paul. Now let's go back to the book of Daniel, if you don't mind. Daniel chapter number 4. I want to show you another incident here of when you should listen to the preacher. We got some men coming in here this week that'll tell you some things, and you may not like what you're told, but if God's giving it to them, you better make sure you listen. Daniel chapter number 4. You know, we love to hear a preacher say what we like. But when it goes against our grain, and when he tells us something that we don't like, we kind of want to stub up and say, no, I don't like that. I don't agree with that. But if God's given it to a man, you better make sure that you do something about it. And I believe God's got a word for us. I don't know what your problem is. I know what mine are. I don't know what yours is. I know what I need answers on. I don't know what you need answers on. Maybe there's somebody in here got a problem with. You don't know. You don't have a job. You need a job. God's liable to speak to you this week. Maybe there's somebody in here that's got a problem in your marriage. God's able to speak to you this week. If your mate don't do what they're supposed to, God's able to tell you what you're supposed to do. Hey, maybe there's somebody in here got a problem with a kid, a rebellious teenager or something. And you say, preacher, if I do this, this goes wrong. If I do this, this goes wrong. I'm too strict. I'm too loose. What should I do? I don't know. But God's able to tell you. Maybe there's some of you men in here got a problem with something on your job. God's able to speak to you and give you the answer. Maybe you women, some of you women's got a problem in here tonight. I know some of you that got problems. And I know that God will speak to you if you'll let Him. God will speak to you if you'll let Him. As a matter of fact, most of the time we already know what we should do anyway. Right? And we kind of don't want to do it, and then here comes a preacher and boom! We go ahead and give in and do it, or else don't do it and suffer the consequences. But notice in Daniel chapter number 4 and verse number 24. Daniel interprets King Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and he tells him this. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. They shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. I don't think he is saying amen to that, do you? And they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times, that meant years, shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee after thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. It wasn't. And break off thy sins. He didn't. By righteousness, he rebelled. And thine iniquities, by showing mercy to the poor. And if it be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Hold your finger right there. My, what a story in the Word of God. He had that dream, you know, King did. And old Daniel come in and he said, all right, big boy. Sit down, King. You ain't going to like what I've got to say. He said, I've got to tell you the truth. I'm going to answer to God for it one of these days. They're going to cut you down. You're going crazy as a bat for 7 years. You're going to go fingernails like an animal. Your hair's going to get long like a rock singer. And you're going to stay behind a fence and slobber and foam at the mouth. And he said, you're going down, big boy. You better get right with God. So God might postpone this thing a little while. Wasn't much shouting going on. Sometimes God will tell you what you don't want to hear. Sometimes He'll tell you exactly the opposite. Sometimes God's wanting you to go one way and you won't go another way. I found out by experience that you're better off to do what God wants you to do. Every time I've ever went ahead and done what God wanted me to do, I come out okay. And every time I didn't, I come out wrong. But that's not the issue. Even if you don't come out okay, do what God wants you to do. If you perish, you perish. I don't like to hear people say, well, if you'll do right, God will bless you later on. That's not why you're supposed to do right. You're supposed to do right if you never get a blessing. You're supposed to do right if I do put you in jail. You're supposed to do right. I'm supposed to do right if we never come out on top. Somebody told a preacher one time, they said, you'll never go to the top preaching like that. If you don't trim your message down a little bit, quit hollering about sin, you'll never go to the top. He said, I used to fish a lot. And he said, that's where dead fish are, at the top. He said, I'll just stay at the bottom. Amen. Brother, Daniel told this man, hey, he said, Daniel could have said, now this is the king, this is my big chance. I could go big time here. King, let Christ come into your life. We're all brothers. But old Daniel looked at him and he said, son, where you're going, there ain't no fingernail clippers. And where you're going, you ain't going to have no brush, man. I don't know why they people won't want it look like that nowadays. Kiss, rat, poison. Kiss, rat, poison. Hey, them names ought to tell you what a bunch of idiots them are. Hey, them crazy people. They're crazy. Why would they want to be like that? And did you know something, brother? Old King said, I believe if he'd have got right, the Lord would have worked something out for him. But notice what he did. Look at verse 28. And all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. God gave him a year to straighten up. God will give you a long time to repent. But if you don't repent, he'll finally get you. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon? He didn't give to the poor. He didn't break off his sins. He didn't confess his pride. That I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and the honor of my majesty. Ain't that great? And God said, okay. And he lost his mind right there. Boy, I, the king of Babylon, walking with that robe. If I were the king of the forest. You know, he came out like that. And boy, he said, he's getting ready to be king of the forest, man. For 7 years, he come out and bought his tough stuff.
Y'all getting tickled? You getting in the...
Listen, brother, he come out there making a big speech and all that, and all of a sudden slobbered all over himself and fell down, and he went around like this for 7 years, and he didn't have a lick of sins. God took his mouth.
You'd been better off listening to the old preacher. Let's try another one. Joseph, back in the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis. Oh, on over there about 42. Genesis chapter 42. Well, 41, I'm sorry. King had a dream, right? 7 years, eat up 7 puny years and good ears and all them. Wind blowed. Verse 28 of verse chapter 41 said, "This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh, what God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh." Here again, had an old preacher in, probably like Dr. Rawlins, like Bobby Thompson, like Brother Ed. The king said, "I've had this dream. What am I going to do about it?" Preacher come in and said, hey, king, the preacher say this. The preacher say, "We're going to have 7 years of plenty, and everybody's going to go wild because we're going to prosper, and your crops are going to come in like crazy. But you better hoard that stuff up, because right after that, going to come 7 years of famine." And brother, that thing happened just exactly like God's man said that it would. He didn't like it. You'll notice it many, many, many times in the Bible. Very seldom do God's men ever have anything good to say. Most of what they say is negative. Most of what they say goes against the grain. Most of the time. I like that one old preacher over there where that king, they was wanting a preacher to come in. They said, "What about old Mikey over there?" And that king said, "Well, he's a good preacher, but I hate him." You remember that? He said, "He never tells me what I want to hear. He always got something negative, bad. He's just the most negative guy I've ever heard in my life. But," he said, "I must speak what God, the Lord, has put in my mouth." And brother, you better listen to the preacher. People nowadays are saying, 20 years ago they're saying, "Well, who says you have to get a marriage license? If I go down to buy me a new car, I'm not just going to go down there and buy it. I'm going to drive it around and try it out." So that same way with marriage. You live together for a while and see if you can get along and all. But, brother, there's only one thing wrong. God, through his preachers, said, "Don't do it. Don't live together before you get married. Don't live together before you get married." And now we're reaping a generation that ignored what God's men preached back in the 60s. And that's why we got STDs. And the country's eat up with sexually transmitted diseases, and our companies are going bankrupt, and our insurance companies are scared, and the nation economy is going broke trying to help AIDS victims and drug addicts, because we ignored what the preachers tried to preach back in the 40s and 50s and the 60s over this thing. The new morality, they said, "No, God, we'll not listen to you." And now God's saying, "All right, you don't listen to my preachers, here's what'll happen." Right, the famine came. One more, 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. Don't you go out of here and misquote me tonight. I'm not saying a preacher's God. I'm not saying a preacher's infallible. I'm not saying preachers ain't never wrong. God knows they are. But I'm saying if God gives a man a message, you do well to listen. You do well to listen. 1 Kings 17. Son of this maniac preacher come out of nowhere preaching. Buddy, he's a wild one. Elijah the Tishbite. And Elijah the Tishbite, verse 1, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these 3 years, but according to my word."
Oh, get out of here, preacher. Your doomsday messages and all that old hellfire and brimstone. My goodness, the other preachers ain't like you. Why don't you talk nice? Everything's going to be all right. Blah, 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 blah. He said, according to my word, it ain't going to rain a drop for 3 years. You know what I believe? Now, I'm not saying this just because I'm a preacher. If I had a pastor, this is what I'd do. Before I made any major decision in my life, I'd talk to my preacher about it. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying preachers are God. I'm not saying I got all the answers. I don't. But I know one thing. Matter of fact, before I do make any major decisions in my life, I've always went somewhere and talked to some preachers. I've talked to preachers all the problems I've got right now. Every time I get around a man of God, I say, listen, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? I want to hear what they've got to say. A lot of times they don't even agree with each other, but I still respect what God's men say. And after you talk to a bunch of them, a certain message starts coming through, brother, and you start saying, well, hey, this is God talking. Amen! I don't believe preachers are up here and other people are down here. I don't believe preachers are any more holy than anybody else necessarily. But I do believe God shows them some things. I believe that. And I tell you what, there's been a lot of people got a job in another city that paid double what they got and went and jumped the gun and moved their family and everything and didn't even talk to the preacher about it, the man of God about it, didn't ask his advice, just moved for the money and automatically didn't even pray about it. And their kids got down there in that other seat and they didn't have a good Bible preaching church to take them to. And their kids got out mean as a devil and got out on drugs and their family broke up and everything else. You'd be better off listening to the preaching and keeping your family and making $5 an hour and your family serving God than you would wind up making $15 an hour somewhere else and you wound up in divorce court and your kids on drugs and everything else. Amen. It kind of bothers me when somebody makes a great big decision and hides it from a preacher for 6 months. You know what that means? That means God was dealing with them about it all along and they didn't want to talk to the preacher because they were afraid of what he might tell them. I've had lots of people tell me that. They said, I didn't talk to you, preacher, because I was scared what you'd say. And I appreciate that, really. I appreciate that. That means you got enough confidence in me to know I'd try to tell you right. And if a man is any kind at all, he's not going to pat you on your back and encourage you in your sin and say, oh, I tell you before God, it ain't going to rain for 3 years. Oh, you prophet of gloom. It's people like you that are ruining the world. You're a pessimist, Eli. You can call me whatever you want to. That's the word of God. No rain, 3 years. And I bet you during that 3 years they blamed him for it. That old preacher, it's his fault. Going around making all his hocus pocus, putting hexes on everybody. Bro, it just don't pay to go against the preacher. I'll never forget reading a story. And this is true. You may not believe it, but I believe it. Some of you won't believe it, but I believe it. I believe it because I've seen God do enough stuff like that when I was preaching. Jack Hiles said he's in a revival meeting somewhere probably 25 years ago. I'll tell you this as I close tonight. Listen real carefully. He said he's in a revival meeting. The first night he preached, I may not have exactly like he told it, but it's something like this. First night he preached, nothing happened. Second night he preached, nothing happened. He said he went back to his motel room that night, I think after the second night, something like that. He said, God, I'm not going to sleep until I hear from heaven. He said he stayed up, prayed all night that night. The sun come up the next morning, he's still on his knees. Something like, and he said that morning, God gave him peace. And he said, tonight, I want you to preach on the prodigal son. All that day, he prepared to preach on the prodigal son. And he said, usually when he preached on the prodigal son, you know the story where the boy left home. Everybody, I guess, knows.
boy left home and he wasted all his things that he had, and he come back and the other brother got jealous, and he come home and it's a picture of returning to the father and all that. He said he always illustrated that by giving them boys names. Like this one was something and this one was something else, you know. He said he got up to preach that night. God had assured him he was going to do something. But he said when he started preaching that night, he said, now the father told that oldest son that I ruled over all that he had and all this, and he's going to give him his name. And he said his mind went blank and he couldn't remember that guy's name to save his life. And he got frustrated and said, John, just call him John. And that right there kind of got him off track and broke his concentration. And he said, you know, it bothers you when you're preaching, you feel like you've messed up and you know, you can't go back and undo it. And he just kind of went on a few more. And he said he got time for him to introduce the younger brother, the one that left home and run away, and he couldn't remember his name. He said his mind was a blank. He beat around the bush. And his name was, and then he went off here and done this, and he's one that messed up in this story, and his name was, and he couldn't remember it. And finally, just out of frustration, he just slung his arm and said, little bud. Right out of the clear blue sky. Little bud left home. And he said, I've done blowed it. God ain't going to bless tonight. And he said he just stammered all the way through that sermon, calling the boy that left home little bud and the boy that stayed home John. And when he got through, he said, boy, I missed it this time. I'm going to go back to that motel room and I'm going to get right with God. Let's everybody pray. And he prayed and said, I might as well give an invitation and get it over with. I'm going to get out of here and go pray and see if I can get right with God and get a message for tomorrow night. He said he felt like it was the biggest failure he'd ever done, just about. And he said, to his amazement, they give the invitation. And all of a sudden, there's somebody come squalling down that aisle, hit the altar. When that guy hit that altar, some woman over here started screaming. And she ran and put her arms around this. Somebody else ran from over there and grabbed them. Jubilation broke out. The Holy Ghost fell all over that place. Somebody, there was others come down to, here was another guy, this and that. And I mean, it went wild. That whole church come apart. People were crying. People were hugging necks. People were getting wrong with each other. Glory, revival came. And he was going, man, he said, I was ready to hang it up. I was ready to go home and fully on this thing. I didn't think that it was going to, I thought it was a flop. And he said, well, hallelujah, God, thine be the glory, you know. And they shaking hands. I said, hey, man, what a great sermon, preacher, you know. Hey, thank you. He said, about that time, that woman ran to him and said, oh, preacher, you don't know what this means to me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And she said, I just want to know one thing. How did you know? He said, know what? She said, how do you know? She said, how did you know, my son? Y'all help me now. I need you to look up here, all of you. He said, how'd you know? She did. That my son John was here tonight. And that was him on the altar getting right. He said, I didn't know. She said, preacher, how'd you know? She said, how'd you know his little brother was here tonight? We hadn't saw him in 2 or 3 years. He ran away from home 2 or 3 years ago, something like that, and that we didn't even know he was in the service tonight. How did you know that his nickname is Little Bud? That's right, brother. He said, I didn't. That's God, brother. That's God! He went home and said, glory to God. Hallelujah. God knows what he's doing, folks. God Almighty knows what he's doing. You better listen to the preacher. I don't know about you. I'm going to come in here tomorrow night. God lets me live. My health's good. And nothing terrible don't happen. My family's able. I'm coming in here tomorrow night. I'm going to do my little part and get out of the way and sit down over here somewhere. I'm going to say, all right, Lord, you sent these men our way. Give me something. Give me something, Lord. God, I promise you, if you'll give it to me and I know it's you, I'll try to do it. All these people through the Bible, you read that thing all the way through the Bible, they come out a whole lot better off listening to God's man when he gives you advice. Let's stand by our head.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. Without any singing, without any music, I want us to just pray for a few minutes tonight. I don't know about you, but I want to get my heart. I don't want to just shout and have a good time. I do want to shout and have a good time. Maybe God will just let us shout the house down. I hope he does. But that ain't, if that's all we do, it ain't that much. I want to hear from heaven. I want to hear from God. I need it, brother. I need it. You just find you a place to pray tonight. If you want to come up here and pray, you come on. If you want to pray there at your seat, you pray there at your seat. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to leave here this week and say, I just heard from heaven and everything is all right now. I just heard from heaven. Jesus answered on the line. I just heard from heaven and everything is all right now. Glory to God, if God just speak one word from heaven, that's what I want to hear. I'd just like to hear him say, amen, Danny, you're on the right track, keep going. That's what I want. And if I'm on the wrong track, say, Danny, you're on the wrong track. You know, I just want to hear his voice, don't you? I just want to hear his voice speaking to my heart. Let's pray.